I think we're ready to dig some dirt now.
All right, Chris, on three. One, two, three. I know, let's play some ball.
Earlier this spring, Mayor Sly James was part of a groundbreaking ceremony for the city's new Urban Youth Academy. That's a baseball facility going in at Parade Park by 18th and Vine, and it's sponsored by Major League Baseball, a prize of sorts for the Royals' World Series win. The idea is to expose more kids to baseball and softball. Sounds simple enough, right? But the conversation around the Urban Youth Academy has come to be about much more than that. It's about everything from revitalizing 18th and Vine to what sports mean in the so-called urban core. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we're starting today's show with a look at those issues simmering just beneath the surface. Call 816-235-2888 if you grew up playing sports in an urban neighborhood. Do you think programs like these are beneficial? What should the Urban Youth Academy be sure to do or not do as it becomes part of the Parade Park community? 816-235-2888. Let's hear from Ronnie Stevies. He's the director of the RBI program at the Boys and Girls Club here in Kansas City. Hi, Ronnie.
Good morning.
So to start off, let's just start with what excites you about the new facility and the plans you're hearing from it. We'll go in another direction from there.
Well, what excites me about the program is that something that's coming to the inner city for the inner city youth. There have been numerous statements throughout the year that African Americans are no longer playing baseball. That is true to a certain degree. Here at the RBI program, last year we served over 800 kids. This year we have well over 1,000 kids. That may be because of the success of Dayton Moore and the Royals, or it may be attributed to kids wanting to get involved in baseball because there is a movement across the country to get more African Americans playing baseball.
Why is that? Why is it important to people that African American kids play baseball?
It's important because baseball is a discipline. Baseball teaches you how to fail but still succeed at the same time. In baseball, hitting 300. People will pay you $1 million. But if you average 300 in any profession, you won't have that job at all.
So you feel like having a facility like this in the neighborhood could be an opportunity for more kids to get access to the kinds of lessons you're describing?
That's true. Not just access to that, but more so is teaching our kids the skills and the disciplines it take to play the sport. Those disciplines and skills fold right over into education. It teaches our kids the skills and disciplines that they'll need to have in high school and in college in order to make a living for themselves. Baseball is just a vehicle, and I want our kids to learn to ride that vehicle until it's time to get off. And when it's time to get off, it's time for education to start.
What do you worry about with the Urban Youth Academy?
I really have no worries. Well, probably a small bit of me states what is going to happen when our kids, sure, we have access to the facility, but who is going to instruct our kids?
What do you mean by, what's the concern there?
Well, you can only have so many instructors that can have only so many kids. So you're going to allow everyone to have access to the facility at no cost. My worry is that will the kids all receive A1 instruction? And with the Rawls, I have no doubt about it, but with the amount of individuals coming to the facility on a daily basis, we estimate probably about 300 individuals during the course of a day. Will there be enough staff there to cover such?
What was the role of sports in your upbringing?
The role of sports. That was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, was to learn sports, because like I said, sports disciplined me.
Where did you live?
I live right here in the inner city. I grew up on 27th Street, which I still live there. When I was coming up, we didn't have baseball in the inner city. None of the IL schools, interscholastic league schools, held baseball. Baseball was a way out to a better life, a better education, a better opportunity for networking, and so forth. We didn't have high school baseball. We only had summer league baseball. All the surrounding communities had baseball outside of Kansas City, and that was a real deterrent. But we never used that as an excuse. We always used that as motivation.
So how did you get involved in baseball?
Well, my mother in the backyard as a kid. My mother was my hitting coach. From there, we migrated into summer leagues. I played at Men's Circle Friendly House over on 24th and Elmwood, which is now one of the Boys and Girls Club's sites, the J.D. Wagner unit. And from there, I just continued to play. I happened to get seen by a couple of coaches, a couple of scouts, and before you know it, I ended up at Alcorn State University. I graduated from there, and from there to now, I am the director of the RBI program here in Kansas City.
How, I mean, when you were playing baseball as a kid, when your mom was coaching you, did you think you were just playing in the yard, or did you hope to be, like, discovered, to have the kind of opportunity that baseball eventually became for you?
No, I didn't. Baseball was just fun. It was a chance for us to compete against one another as well as my mom, because there was a lot of family talk, trash talking, I should say. There was a lot of trash talking and a lot of just fun, just basic fun. And from there, it grew. We got better. Me and my brothers, we all got better. And eventually people started to, hey, you guys want to come play with us? And here we are.
Well, we've got someone who might have witnessed some of this trash talking. He grew up right behind you. He's in the studio with us too. Pat Clark, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning.
What was the role of sports in your upbringing?
You know, it's funny that my upbringing was pretty much like Ronnie's. You know, we come from the neighborhood that we serve now. And my mom was my hitting coach. I was born throwing left-handed, but I batted right-handed. My mother took me to the park and taught me how to bat left-handed. My mother wanted me to be a pitcher. My mother taught me how to pitch, you know.
Ronnie's trying to give you a fist bump right
it's,
now.
It's funny because, you know, my dad worked two jobs, you know, 35 years at the post office, and then he worked doing maintenance at night, you know. So my mom, you know, my mother told me I had to be the best at everything, and she made sure of that. And so, you know, listening to Ronnie, you know, and the funny part about it is the people that referred me didn't know my baseball background. You know, I played a few years behind Ronnie, so I got to watch Ronnie. But the funny part is I went to camp for the Royals back in 91. When I got cut and
what
came.
What kind of camp? Can you tell me a little more about that?
It was actually spring training. I went down to Baseball City in Florida. And
how old are you at this point?
I was 27.
Okay.
You know, in baseball, 27 is old if you haven't been in the minor leagues or been on any professional level. You know, the funny part is the next year when the Royals were looking for left-handed pitching, I called Herb Robinson. Herb Robinson, and he said, Pat, how old are you? I said, 28. He said, man, you too old. He said, we've got 16, 15-year-old guys from the Dominican Republic that, you know, they ready to go, man. He said, you're an old man at the age you're at right now. So, you know, that was my first lesson in being ready for, you know, old age. You know, I mean, you know, even though you still feel that you're real good.
Late 20s, most professions, you're not too old. But, yeah, that. Athletic ones, that's tough.
Well, what's the guy's name? Play right field for the Royals. Paulio. This guy's 30 years old, you know, and he's really shining now. So, but you know, we played baseball 8 o'clock in the morning. We got up at 6:30, started playing around, getting ready at 7. 8 o'clock, we played 9-inning ball games before noon. We go play basketball and baseball during the rest of the day, sit and chill out. But at 6 o'clock, we were right back out there in the middle of the street. That's something that you don't have anymore. And you know, you were talking about Ronnie, how important it is. Well, black kids just don't play baseball like they used to. And the thing is that we don't have all the things we need to keep them interested. You know, since me and Ronnie came up, there was no AAU basketball. You know, we played basketball and football in the summertime on our own, but baseball was the main thing. And here they've came in and pretty much stolen baseball.
So you think basketball kind of pushed baseball out of the picture?
You've got a 6-foot kid and he's only 9 years old, you know, and you've got a basketball coach, you know, telling this parent, hey, I can make your son a superstar, the next Shaquille O'Neal.
Well, what would the kid not learn the same kinds of things from basketball? Or is there something special about baseball, maybe the history of the sport?
Baseball is a science. Mm-hmm. Baseball is truly mm-hmm. a science. Mm-hmm. You look at the pitcher, it's how much torque he puts on the ball, if he throws a curveball or a slider. Then the batter has to read that in less than 2 seconds. He has to know whether it's a fastball or curveball, whether to hit the ball to right field, by letting the ball get deep in the zone, or make a choice of pulling the ball down the line if the ball's inside on him. There's a lot of things that come into play with baseball that so many of our kids, if you don't start at an early age, at an early age, I mean something like 9 or 10 years old, even younger than that. If you don't start them at a younger age, then baseball at that point is a moot point, because trying to learn the skills of baseball, getting rid of the fear of the ball hitting you and some of those issues, some of our kids aren't ready to face. But they look at basketball and they look at football as glamour sports. A lot of people say that baseball is too slow. But like I said again, baseball is a science. You have to study it. Baseball is a game within a game within a game within a game.
Ronnie, we've heard that you are seemingly pretty excited about the Urban Youth Academy. Pat, what about you? How do you feel about it?
Well, I'm not excited. I'm not excited because of the things and the potential that it has to do to my community. You know, I mean, you're talking to a pitcher and a catcher, you know, two guys that love this sport, that took the time to learn this sport. And like Ronnie said, you have to start playing baseball at an early age. And you ask the question, what does it do, the difference between basketball and baseball? The only thing between the two is they both give you an opportunity to teach kids how to work with other people. You know, I mean, I have a basketball court. I'm on it every day. I use that to build relationships. Right. That's the same thing we do with baseball, okay, because of what we care about. But when you talk about somebody coming in that has nothing to do with your community, I mean, there's things that the Royals do. But, you know, we have qualified coaches in RBI. What happens to them? These are the people that these kids have been trusting for 5, 6, 7 years, and all of a sudden, he's not my coach anymore because I've moved on. One thing that I found out working in the community that is anything with Urban Core on it is worth millions now. Anything.
With that phrase attached
to it. That's right. That's right. There's a guy. He's gone now, but Bernard Powell once said that ghetto or gold mine, the choice is yours. But see what
can you explain
happened,
what that means?
That means that
it's your vision.
If you want it, sky's the limit. But if you're gonna do anything, do it for your community, and be good at it. And see, one thing that I've learned here in the last few years, our ghetto is a gold mine, because everything that's coming into our community now has an extended version on it, and the people that's coming in behind it, you know. And that's the thing, trying to get people to feel how I feel about my community, and they've been living there 50, 60 years, is a hard job. You know, I welcome anything that's going to come in and change for the better. But if Ronnie's over on 43rd in Cleveland, and I shared this with Matt, you know.
That's our producer.
Yeah, yeah. I've been talking to Ronnie for 5, 6 years. Hey, man, let's extend the park and turn this into a family park like they've got up at Tiffany Springs and all these other places.
The infrastructure and, setup for lots of, baseball fields and stuff.
That's right. You know, but like I said, you know, they talking about softball. I've been trying to bring softball back in to the inner city. We're working on 69th and Elmwood now. But what I'm saying is that all the things that they do in the parade park, they can do over on 43rd and Cleveland. We have the space and opportunity. You know, I think that Ronnie has done an awesome job over there. But when people don't pay attention. You know, my thing is we reinventing the wheel. You know, you're taking it down to Parade Park because it's easy access. I know because I had a softball league down there. Easy on, easy off. So most of our people, and you'll see this in 2 years, most of our people that are coming down there for that baseball academy is going to come from Johnson County.
You know, I'm curious. I've heard that's a criticism I've heard, and I'm curious about. I mean, I see the problem if it's those kids instead of the ones already in the community. But I wonder, do you think it's possible for it to be both for the neighborhood kids and suburban kids?
Yes, it will be for both. I don't want us to point fingers and start to blame or anything like that. But one thing about it, this is for the kids. And let's keep it that way. History, we just don't want history to repeat itself.
What do you mean by that?
In various areas. We look at the Plaza situation. There's no place for our kids to go.
Curfews.
Yes. There's no place for our kids to go. This could be a place for our kids to go and attend, and it is. That's what it's for. It's not just for our kids to go and learn the sport of baseball and softball. It's also for education.
So your concern is not so much whether there are suburban kids there, but whether the kids in the community become outsiders in their own neighborhood.
No, I wouldn't say that they will become outsiders. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I want every kid. I don't care if he's from Johnson County, he's from Blue Springs, he's from Leavenworth, he's from Raymore, Belton. It doesn't matter to us. Kids are kids. That is part of my job, is to help support kids. I am the RBI program is a program of the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City, and so that is our mission, to support kids, to educate kids, to get kids to go on and not just become better individuals, but become taxpaying citizens so that they'll one day pay you and I both Social Security.
Well, but I'm curious.
Please let me.
Yeah, Pat's looking eager to share his point of view here.
Listen, that's Ronnie's philosophy, you know, as well as the Boys and Girls Club. See, one thing I have to deal with, the murder and destruction of my community every day. Right. This is, you know, and most of the kids that are committing homicides, they don't play baseball.
That's right.
And they played at one point, or they played basketball, football. These are the kids that are committing the murders now. Being concerned with it is, my biggest concern is that because it's down in my community. See, we're not going to Johnson County, even though a lot of our kids have left the neighborhood and went out there because they were driven or drawn out there. One thing about this here is, I understand the all kids situation, but when you have facilities like this already in Johnson County, you know, then if you're going to do this, take the word urban core off of it. Once again, anything.
Why does that word on there bother you?
Because when you talk about the urban core, you talk about where I live. You know, I see funding coming in for things, but it's not helping me pay kids to pick up trash. It's not helping me to find jobs and opportunities for these kids. You know, take that off of there, because that word right there means something. And to me, it means funding right now. You know,
I grew up in a place where people loved sports, but primarily just as a way to have fun and like learn things like teamwork. And a lot of the discipline and focus things you were talking about, but I kind of wonder, when you're talking about like all of these really socioeconomic issues, whether it is just a totally privileged position to play sports for only those reasons. I mean, I remember in the 90s you were talking about basketball. There were so many basketball programs set up to keep city kids, you know, quote unquote, off the streets. And I recognize that is not how people talked about playing basketball where I grew up. What do you think about the way that sports are viewed in your community? I mean,
sports is a discipline. That's how I look at it. I look at sports as a discipline. We've started, we're trying to get a program going with the Kansas City, Missouri School District as far as sports. And that is having a baseball, softball program in every elementary school. If we do that, I look at, let me turn the page just a bit here. I look at what Branch Rickey and Jackie Robinson did for African Americans throughout the country. By what Branch and Jackie did, the whole community started to unite. Sure, there was a big divisive thing, but even go back before then, you can go to Jesse Owens in 37 in the Olympics, how the world looked at African-American culture afterwards, after they saw this great athlete go out and do all these things and how nice of a guy he was, da-da-da-da, and so forth and so on. And now we turn back and we've had all these problems in the inner city, just like Pat said about all the murders and so forth. I live in that community. I've seen that same thing. So my way of trying to give back is to get the Kansas City, Missouri School District to have sports in every elementary school throughout the city. Virginia. And I say that now, let me finish. I say that because it starts to put this discipline in our kids at an early age. We don't want to wait until they're 14, 15 years old when they've seen the guys out on the streets with the guns and the cars and all the handful of money, which is so tempting to our kids. Let's get back into this other thing about education with our kids, where we start to instill these disciplines at an early age by giving them structure at an early age. Therefore, when they're in high school, they expect these structures to continue, only they're going to increase. Then when they go off to college, those same structures will still be set up, and our kids will be acclimated to them at that point and won't have to fight to try and stay eligible and to pay for themselves to get through college. Our goal in the RBI is to teach every kid the skills.
I'm going to have to jump in because I want to get to our calls, and I also want to let Pat have a say here.
Well, you know, I'm a come with it as far as the street politics. See, when you have buildings that are built brand new, you have brand new things in it. Central High School had a brand new swimming pool in it, but all the people that used it on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays came from Johnson County, Wichita. They're utilizing community things for our kids. The Boys Club on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, basketball tournaments. But if you look at the tags on these cars, they come from outside. You know, we, and this is nothing against Ronnie, because, I mean, he's got a job to do, as well as I do. But if the Boys Club closes at 6, where do my kids go? See, crime has an opportunity just as well as everything else does. But if 6 o'clock, instead of him being on the ball field with Ronnie, he's in somebody's car or he's in somebody's house.
That's
how do you prevent that when these kids are not trying to play baseball anymore? You know, there's two sides to this, but people need to look at how it affects us, because in 2 years that program down there, that academy, it'll be less and less of the inner city kids. I promise you that.
Let's hear from one of our callers. We've got Joe with us from Midtown. Hi, Joe. You're a familiar voice here, and for a lot of our listeners too.
Yes. Today, I want to ask a question as the historian for American Legion Post 149, and I emphasize American Legion. In 1954 and 1955, Wayne Minor Post had a baseball team. One of the sponsors became the Muehlbach family, actually the Muehlbach Brewing Company.
Coach and my Mr. question,
Motley. Yes. And my question is, in these years in Pacific, there was the T.B. Watkins League, there was the Jackie Robinson League, there was the Catholic League, and I'm trying to find out what happened after 1955 to black kids and baseball in the urban core or the inner city. What happened?
Well, I would say that Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, mm-hmm. those guys, they kind of took over. The media pointed at basketball and so forth, and our kids saw that basketball was a very popular sport. And most of our kids got, they say that baseball is boring. But again, that comes back to the age of which you started playing the game, because there's a lot of games within the game of baseball. But I would say that that's one of the things that happened. I don't know exactly, but I know that is one of the things that happened. Most of the kids that started growing up, especially during my age, some of the guys thought that baseball was a boring sport, and they moved on to basketball and played football. But as we know today, a lot of the football players are suffering from concussions and so forth, and a lot of the parents are trying to steer their kids back to baseball.
You know, as we just get back for a moment to the Urban Youth Academy, I'd like to play a clip from Kyle Vina, the director of the baseball administration for the Royals. He's the main guy behind the scenes on the project that inspired this project. Let's hear a little of what he has to say.
We're not naive enough to think that every kid that comes there we can make into the next Lorenzo Cain. But what we can do is make sure that we provide for them.
Is someone like Lorenzo Cain inspiring for the kids that you guys meet and talk to?
I would say he is. What do you say, Pat?
Well, in our neighborhood, you know, we deal with more. These kids have to see it to believe it. You know, I mean, if Lorenzo Cain came around and did a camp for RBI, you know, maybe he would be.
You mean sort of like Frank does?
Well, you know.
You're talking about Frank White. Well, no, I am curious about the idea and this dream of being discovered, because Lorenzo Cain, the story about him is that he got into baseball as a teenager, having not done it before, and was spotted and just catapulted into a really, like, huge success as a baseball player. And Frank White, I mean, his story also involves kind of being discovered to some extent, right?
In that park.
That is true.
In that park.
In Parade.
You know, we'll get to that part, but, if Mr. Joe is still there, what happened was Michael Jordan. You know, that's what happened. You know, I mean, here's a guy recycling shoes and selling them for almost $200. You have people buying Michael Jordan shoes that somebody's already worn for $100, $300. So, you know, that's what happened, and it took over. You know, so basketball has a lot to do with what happened with baseball. If you don't learn this game, the first thing you'll say is, oh, man, that game is boring. I hear it all the time. You have people that won't even start sit down and watch a game.
Let's very quickly hear from Michael in Parade Park, and then we're going to have to wrap up this conversation. Michael in Parade Park, quickly, what do you have to share?
Well, hello, gentlemen. I'm somewhere in between. Parade Park, I see that they're going to move out kids who would have an outlet that aren't interested in sports. Generally, there's a big park there. There's basketball courts. There was an Arthur Ashe tennis court. And now you're going to have a complex that's, like you said, for affluent kids. Baseball players, lots of black kids play all the way through elementary school. But it's when you become a high school student and you have to get on traveling teams in order to be seen by scouts. And that's expensive for parents. Travel, food, hotel, rent. I had a kid that played soccer, and he played professionally in a league underneath Major League Soccer. And we traveled all up and down California. That's where I'm from. The cost, kids play as little kids, but they don't play like they used to because of the cost. It costs a lot for equipment. You lose balls.
I would agree.
My feeling with displacing the kids from Parade Park that live across the street for a general use park to a specific park, I just think you're doing the community a disservice. 15, 16, 18-year-old kids. I don't want to relitigate the pathology of black kids and crime.
We got to go. But, you know, it's such an interesting conversation, and we hope to resume it soon on KCUR and on Central Standard. Ronnie, Pat, it's been great talking to you both. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Michael talking about Parade Park. They're trying to move the people in the homes out of there. So thank you.
A lot to talk about. Ronnie's the director of the RBI program for the Boys and Girls Club of Kansas City, and Pat is a community outreach specialist. When KCUR's Central Standard returns, the story of the art scene in Wichita, Kansas. There's a new book about it. Stay tuned.